Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to Spiritual Insights. In a time when we are all experiencing multiple paradigm shifts, it is crucial that we seek to deepen our relationship with our soul and connect more fully to tap into its knowledge for increased clarity and sense of purpose. Well, today we have international author and speaker Dr. Joanne White, host of Power Your Life Radio and her new Power Your Life television show. And she's going to help us understand the importance of this and how to do it. She is a certified professional coach, business consultant, and energy master teacher who holds a master's and a doctoral degree. Featured on radio and television networks including CBS, NBC, Fox, and Voice America, sharing her diverse expertise, she specializes in innovation, transformation, and energy medicine. Known globally as the Success Doc, she has helped millions of individuals and businesses shape their own dreams and master their own success. And with her assistance, you too can learn how to partner with your soul and experience true self-actualization in all areas of life. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Joanne White to the show. Hello, Joanne. How are you?
Hello, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a brand new year, brand new energy, and I am going with the flow, as I'm sure you are as well.
Yes, and I'm excited to be here, too, as you were mentioning, and thanks for the intro. Soul, connecting with your soul and the soul wisdom and really knowing how to create that dance, how to create that synergy and that connection is so very vital. And so, as you were talking about all the changing energies, it's really vital during that time. It's a way of actually grounding the important information and the important aspect of who we are in this physicality, this body, so that we get it, so that we're not just our ego or our body or our emotions.
Absolutely, and I love how you call it a synergistic dance. That's a beautiful way of putting it.
Thank you.
Well, it's difficult for a lot of us to understand, and so I'm so glad you're here to shed light on this important topic. But just to go back to the beginning a little bit, I know that we all have a unique story, as unique as we are, as to how our lives led up to the present moment. So just very quickly, I was wondering about your path, what it was like, and did you have a pivotal moment that stands out for you?
I probably have lots of pivotal moments.
Sure, but that one big one that said, okay, this is what I got to do, and this is where you are.
I remember a time when I was actually an executive director, and I was in corporate, and I was working with a huge organization for children and youth and adults with special needs and creating programs and doing training and all sorts of wonderful things. And I was also teaching at Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm. And I remember that I would go to teach my class as an adjunct in the evening, and there was this billboard, Charlotte, that somebody was playing a musical instrument, this guy, and it said, do what you love. And even though I was loving what I was doing at this job as an executive director, there was something more calling to me, something more connected to my spirituality and I guess really my true purpose. And so every time I would see that billboard, the tears would fill up, and I'd say, this is crazy. I've got to get to my class. I'm going to teach my class. But it happened, and it was as though my soul on some level or the universe was speaking to me and saying, okay, there's something more here. And I began to really pay attention to that as I do realize that this was something that was very important in terms of really branching out and going into private practice and doing more spiritual work with people and soul work and coaching. And so it really shifted my career.
Yeah, that's a beautiful moment, especially if tears accompany the experience and you have to sit and say, okay, I'm willing to listen. What do I need to do? I've had moments like that as well, and I'm grateful for those moments. So, because every step leads us to where we are.
Right. And I think many people have those moments. Many people have an inner voice, and it's not the voice of worry. It's not the voice of, oh, something horrible is going to happen. It's that inner. It just comes as a very strong, loving voice that's not there to criticize you, but it's a voice that really says, there's something here. And you feel... And we'll talk about that later, too. But there's something that connects inside your body, inside your heart, that really connects with something that's very deep and deeply embedded in you. And so it's really a calling. I had that earlier when I was – I've had many different lives in this lifetime in terms of multiple kinds of careers. I think we evolve ourselves continuously, and I always write about that.
Yes.
And I think this one time – I was teaching children with disabilities, and I was told, okay, you've got to keep copious notes. And so it actually turned into, I kept notes, and then one day I woke up, and there was this voice in my head, a line to a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept, day after day, this one line or two lines to this book, and I finally said, okay, already.
And I started to
write it down, and it's something that's actually hasn't been published yet, but it will. You have to pay attention to that. You don't have to. I mean, we do have a choice. However, I believe if we don't pay attention to that inner voice of our soul calling to us, that we can be unhappy and not feel fulfilled.
Yes. Yeah, so many times, even with participants in my lectures or my students, I always encourage journal. Even if you just jot notes, you don't have to write an essay, but keep fresh so that you can go back, because you never know. Because I do feel that we get signs from spirit for quite a while before we actually get the message and then ultimately say, okay, I'll do it. Because in our left brain, it might not always make sense, but it's what we really want to accomplish with this lifetime. So there's much to glean from a journal, and as in your case and mine as well, you never know. You could end up with a book or a memoir that might just help change someone else's life. So, free will.
I think journaling is very important, and that's one vehicle, one way to access that information. And like you, I believe that I always say to my students that there's a very – the universe is incredibly interactive. It's always listening. We may not be attending to it. We may not be paying attention to the signs or the signals, but it doesn't mean that they're not there. It just means that we may be closed off to them or too engaged in something else to really pay attention. And I think that, like you said, that message is there, and sometimes it takes us a while to get it. And sometimes we don't get it at all because we're not listening, we're not watching, we're not connecting. And I think that's key. And I think it's so important, like I said, now to really be able to differentiate what's the voice of the ego, what's the voice of my soul, what's going on, because I think that capacity for all of us to connect with our soul is not only for our individual selves, but it's also a very profound way to do some incredible healing on the planet. I think, imagine if people, all of us, were living from that soul arena, and the soul is the embodiment of all aspects of our higher selves, and mm-hmm. just incredibly, I mean, in many religions, they call the soul something different. In, like, Christianity, it's the Christ within there, and there's so many different references to it. Mm-hmm. So we have to really be able to know how to tap into that and even discern the messages. Now, you and I
yes.
both work a lot with dreams, right? So, and dreams
yes.
also, dreams have a lot of symbolic messages. I think oftentimes the messages from the soul can be incredibly simple, and they're everywhere.
Absolutely. And we should all strive to access the wisdom that is inherent within the soul. So, and with that phrase, why don't we turn this over to you and ask you, how do you define soul wisdom, and why is it so important?
Well, soul wisdom, like I said, is the embodiment of all the information. It's like it's like our soul knows of past, present, and future about ourselves, as well as connecting to vast amounts of wisdom and connecting spirit and matter together. So soul is like the mediating or the bridging principle of what our consciousness is. And it's a connection of, I don't know how many people on your listening audience believe in past lives or future lives or whatever, but the soul is the collection, if you will, of all of those lifetimes. And so the learning and the vastness and the information that it contains can help us in an incredible way in this lifetime. And it actually can serve as a witness. I mean, oftentimes people say, well, why isn't my soul kind of pushing me to do something? And it may be, I don't know that it pushes. I think it guides, and I think it gives us clues and information for us to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very important that we figure it out, too, within ourselves. And it's really not only aware of our individual plan, but it's also, I think, aware of the bigger picture, the divine plan for all of humanity. And it also, I think that when we connect with our soul, it's almost as though we move beyond just the physicality, beyond our emotions, and really connect with all of that all at once, the spiritual, the physical, the mental, and just really be able to recognize that when they come together and when they are integrated with the soul, something very incredible, something very profound can happen.
I believe, too, that
when we die, the personality can actually die, but I think the soul lives on. And I've had several clients and people who, like actually a colleague of mine, and I find this fascinating, she was present at the death of her mother, and she was there at a mother's deathbed. It was in the hospital. She was sitting there, and her mother kind of breathed in her last breath or breathed it out, and my friend actually saw this light, this flow, whatever it was, this leave the body. Now, I have never been witness to that, and I haven't been witness to too many deaths like that, but so I think that there you go. I mean, there's
yeah.
that part of us that just remains and continues, and look at the vast amount of wisdom that it can impart if we're listening and if
yes.
we're open. And some people are so afraid of it. I remember once working with a client who was so gifted and had such abilities, psychic abilities or whatever, and she was really terrified of it. And she kept getting sick. And she just didn't understand what was going on. And I kept thinking, well, I'm wondering if there's some kind of connection because of her disconnection.
Yeah.
She was so afraid when she was younger, she was getting connections to angels and to to her soul, and she didn't quite know what to do with it, so she shut down.
Okay.
And she shut down from all those messages out of fear. And once we work with, you know, you really have to, you're getting that information for a reason. It's not like it's an advertisement. It's part of you that you need to connect to.
It's a major clue, yes.
Right, right. And she was getting sick, and she couldn't figure out why she was getting sick, and the doctors couldn't find anything. Once she was able to connect with that aspect of herself, the true essence of who she was,
mm-hmm.
everything began to fall into place, Charlotte, and she got better. She had more energy, more vitality, and was connected to the core of what she was really about. And so I think that says a lot, not only for her, but to all of us, that it's imperative for our well-being that we really get more information, find out, and befriend our soul, welcome our soul, hello to our soul, access our soul, all of that.
Nurture,
wonderful stuff. Right, right, right.
Well,
our soul.
I love the story you just told, and I'm so happy. First, the one story about the colleague who was present at the death of her mom. What a precious, precious experience for her. I had a similar one. So anytime I allow it to come up in my mind, I just am overcome with such a sense of peace at having been gifted. I almost feel like I'm getting choked up. At just the gift to witness on a metaphysical level that type of experience. So that was beautiful, and I'm happy for her. But for the one, you know, the client who has these abilities, and yet it took sickness to make her sit still and bear witness to who she really was and her true function. And you mentioned the magic word a few minutes ago, disconnection from our own souls. And so I'm going to ask you, you tell us in your own words, when we experience a disconnection from our own souls, whether it takes the form of sickness, depression, self-sabotaging behaviors, what are some of the reasons or causes for experiencing such a profound disconnection at soul level?
Well, some of it could be that fear that we were talking about. She had fear of, and sometimes we're afraid of our true greatness. We're afraid of our possibilities.
Absolutely.
It's also that we can doubt ourselves. So a lot of doubt. Oh, and a big thing in this, in within humanity, Charlotte, is the lack of recognizing that we are worthy, we are worth it. So we don't. The soul is this incredibly beautiful aspect of our perfection, and in our physicality, we're not perfect, and that's okay. I embrace that with humor and lightness.
Yeah.
And yet in the soul body, it's ultimate perfection. The soul body it has psychic abilities, intuitive abilities, artistic abilities, creative abilities, be able to access information from any time, anywhere.
Yeah.
So when we are so afraid, or when we diminish ourselves, demean ourselves, or cut ourselves off from our own truths too, when we don't really believe in ourselves, when we're out of integrity, when we don't trust, when we are fearful about who we really are and try to hide behind aspects of ourselves that aren't real, then what we're doing is we're really fooling ourselves, and we're moving from what could actually source us and give us the energy and the love to really flourish. So I think that's just some of it, but I think there's so much more. I think when people are so concerned about how somebody else may view them, or, oh, gee, that's so strange, so people might think I'm too weird, I'm just not going to pay attention to that. That's not who I am. I'm going to go watch some TV, and don't I do watch some TV. So, but what I'm saying is that disconnect also comes because the noise that we have, you were talking about the noise that we have from watching, being so engaged in our
the
cell
rat race,
phones,
so to speak.
Or whatever it is,
numbness,
video games, who knows, you name the what kids do and what we do, and just doing that now, really has an impact because we're not listening, because we have too much noise going on.
Yes.
There actually is some research, as I was talking about this, I wanted to just was reminded of something, and there was research recently about how our brains, because of all the technology and the way that we're instantly messaging and the way that we're using our iPhones, and that our brains are really shifting in terms of certain kinds of abilities to be able to get information very quickly, and yet at the same time some abilities to really be able to do a lot in terms of a specific kind of research and staying at something for a long time. Those are being diminished because we're being asked to do new skills. Well, I think that that's what we're creating on a behavioral level, and yet the soul, which is the embodiment of the mental and the physical, you know, all of it, that's not diminished at all. And you mentioned something that I thought was really important about kind of quieting ourselves, which is part of a way of reconnecting to just kind of one way to just move away from the noise. Turn your cell phone off. Don't always be responsive to somebody. Just be able to take moments for oneself, for yourself, so that you can begin to, firstly, connect with who you are.
Absolutely.
Your core, right? And then be able to listen and receive and take the time to do that. We're also such a fast, in this country, okay, and many people in different countries where they take siestas and they have tea time, right? And we don't do that. But those are also times to just be in the quiet and be reflective and tune in.
Just be.
So I think we also have a choice as to what we want to tune into.
Absolutely. And the soul is the spark of God that is in each of us. And I think it's our responsibility to nurture that. You refer to it as attend to the soul. So how do we reconnect, reestablish a strong connection, reinforce that connection, and attend to the soul, as you say? Is that different from feeding the soul?
I think it's the attend, and I think they're related. So attending to the soul is about, okay, but paying attention. So where am I putting my focus? Am I putting my focus on everything external, like my relation, like my personality and what I'm doing tonight and how much money I'm making and da-da-da-da-da, or am I putting my attention on the energy that's coming from my heart, my spirit, from what really moves me, my passion, from my values? What are we really allowing? So when we're attending to the soul, we're kind of shutting down ways that take us away from our true source, our true purpose of what we really are. And that doesn't mean that we can't live and enjoy and play and enjoys connecting with people on Facebook so it's not about diminishing those kinds of activities, but it's really about centering ourselves and really about being able to access that information. And so attending to the soul is about, okay, now it's time to listen. Now it's time to put in, okay, now it's time to listen or to watch, or because messages from the soul come in so many different ways and so many different shapes. And so that's what I mean by attending.
Yes.
What we do to nurture the soul is very different. And we
talk
about that too.
Yes, but first we have to shut down the external stimuli and create a space in which to do this. This is the only way we can get that work done. Like you said, the universe is constantly speaking to us. And until we train that muscle of recognizing those signals, those signs, like the billboard that you saw, like the license plate that I saw that led to the show, and until we learn to recognize those, quote, miracles, we need to figure out what we need to accomplish in order to achieve a balance to create that space for ourselves. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And, you know, I love the idea that they're miracles, because I believe in miracles, and there are so many miracles that we can be open to and experience individually and collectively. And what I find fascinating is that the messages that we get, they are constant. They are in a constant flow. And as we receive those messages, we feel good. We feel better. They feed us. They're so very important.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes we don't recognize what they are, or we don't believe them, or we doubt them, or we may think they're coming from a different place. So I think what's important first is, as we're attending, paying attention, opening up, is to realize that messages from the soul are not going to tell you what a bad person you are not going to tell you or devalue you and pick on you and tell you you're not good enough. If those are the messages that you're receiving, those are messages more from your ego that may
That's
be screaming
ego.
People are afraid because they hear messages and they don't know what to or who to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with clients who say, I don't really know. I mean, not only that, I'm not sure what to listen to or who to believe or what. Well, don't believe those messages. Don't believe the ones that make you feel less than, or that really try to trick you up or have you do something that's really out of integrity. Those are not the messages that are coming from your soul.
Absolutely not. When it comes to, we all experience varying levels of clarity, and we do seem to get messages, but in my experience, no message from spirit or your soul would ever hurt your feelings, would never be insulting, would never bring you to anger. It would never be anything but a reassurance, a sense of reassurance. But what do you feel interferes with soul messaging? Do you put responsibility entirely on the ego, or do you feel there are other components that contribute to interference?
I think the ego has a big part of it. We've been talking about the emotions and the doubts and all of that stuff that gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also when we just want to pay attention to left brain thinking. So,
yes.
Some people just want to say, okay, this is the only reality there is. I remember when I was like in my 20s having discourses with somebody about, well, this is it. There's nothing more than that. And some people still believe that. Well, I don't believe that at all. And like I said earlier, and like you and I both experienced, is that the universe is incredibly responsive. And if
yes.
you know how to listen and when and where and you're just open to it. You have to be open to receive.
Yes.
So attending is also about saying, okay, I'm open to receive. And maybe you need to even say hello to your soul. One of the ways to do that, and we talked early on about doing some exercises, but I just want people to do something really quickly. And one of the ways to really connect with your soul is to connect with your heart center, which is not just where your physical heart is, but it's within your chest, to also connect with, and so just do that now if you're listening. Just be able to focus in on that place. Close your eyes for just a moment and really just begin to focus in on your heart center and just begin to feel the love and the sense of ease that can come from that kind of knowing, which is very powerful. Then also what I'd like you to do is to focus on the crown, which is right in the middle of the top of your head, the center of your head, where we're receiving spiritual messages and guidance all the time. So we're focusing now on two places. I actually want you to focus on one more place. So I'm not asking you to be schizophrenic here, but I'm just asking you to be able to pull these together. And now what I'd like you to do is just to focus a few inches right below your navel. And sometimes people, in some spiritual and religious groups, some people believe that the seat of the soul is right there. But just connect with all those three for a moment. And just imagine that there is a light that's moving from a few inches below your navel, spiraling up to your heart center, and then spiraling up to the top of your head, to the crown. We'll work with this later on, but I just wanted to identify these three places to just tune into.
That's great.
Thank you. And when we tune in, good. When we tune in, it's amazing what happens, because I always say that there are so many clues to what's going on with us. To, you mentioned license plates. That's a great story, and what happened with me with the billboard. I get so many messages. I like to take what I call my soul walks. And because I think that one of the ways we were talking about nurturing, one of the ways to nurture your soul is to actually be in nature, to really connect with the beauty and the splendor and the vastness, and also feel that kinship. We are part of nature, and it's a really very important relationship that sometimes we don't pay attention to enough, and that
it
we
is.
Need to. So.
And you
so
mentioned,
much, go ahead.
Well, earlier in the conversation, you mentioned you were at Temple teaching, and you know Philadelphia is a concrete, a vast area of concrete, but they do have parks. There's Rittenhouse Square. There's all these beautiful. There's Pennypack Park in the Northeast. There's all these beautiful parks where you can go and sit with a tree, look at the grass. It can be accomplished. So I just want to just kind of remind everybody, even though if you live in a large city, there are ways with which to connect to nature, ground your energy, and hopefully get a message. I mean, I'm so into this, Joanne, that it takes effort for me to turn it off. Where earlier, you know, it takes effort to say, pay attention, look at the signs, be in your third eye, whatever you want to do. But in order for me to turn it off, it takes a concerted effort, and I really don't want to. This is how I live, and I can just step out my back door and see a butterfly and find immense joy just in analyzing the color of that butterfly and what it could mean, and the miracle of how it correlates to the thoughts I was having as I stepped out the door, if that makes sense.
You know, to me, I totally live where you live, so
yeah.
I love the messages, and the more we are receptive to the messages, like you and I are, and like so many of our listeners, the more we're receptive to those messages, the more messages we seem to have, because we're paying attention, we're being receptive, we're opening to the messages, and we're acting on them in some way. I get the most amazing birds that come into my backyard it doesn't even think that it would be amazing to say, well, those kinds of birds don't even come into your area.
Yeah.
Well, they don't, but one day, like a hawk just showed up, and just so many other kinds of animals have just shown up that don't seem to belong here. And those, to me, are specific and definitive messages. And sometimes you don't even have to leave your house. But that's one of the ways to really nurture the soul is in nature and in the beauty and connecting with that.
Yes.
I actually have taken people on a, and maybe we can do that a little bit, I've taken people on a guided journey whereby they actually, when they're at the ocean, and they become connected to a wave. They become the wave. And so it's almost as though you can really feel and experience the power, the energy of connecting to all of who we are, because that connection is so very strong.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned that license plate. I just want to share something, because sometimes I'll just put the question out. I'm when I'm confused about something, or I need some clarity about something, so sometimes I'll put it to a dream state, and I think the soul is very active in your dream state, or sometimes I'll just put it into my mind, or I'll say it, or I'll write it down in a journal, or just write it down, or just attend to that question, and invariably I get an answer. It could even be on the television. It could even be from a friend, or you tune into a tune on the radio, and there's somebody that there's there's some message in there, or a poem, or, I mean, I've actually been in bookstores, Charlotte, where a book actually has fallen off the shelf that I was supposed to pay attention to. I'm sure you've experienced the same thing.
Dozens of times, yeah.
Right. So it's very important. Are you there?
Here I am.
Okay.
Just took me a second to get back on. They place banana peels around. I'm sorry. I was saying what we want the audience to learn to speak the language. What were you saying?
We were just talking about how messages are everywhere and needing to really be responsive to that.
And I want to take a commercial break, but just to add, you know, like dreams, the universe speaks a very special language, and learning that language, it's just a little different. But when we do, whether it's through all the things you were mentioning, you know, books flying off the shelf, I've seen that so many times. But a lot of times I asked for it. Like, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of time. Could you help me figure out what I need and where it is, and then it comes to me? And so I've gotten to a point in my life where I very rarely make a major decision. I ask, and I ask for a sign, or I ask for a vision or a dream, and it comes. It always comes at the exact moment that I need it.
Mine too, and I've been keeping dream journals since I've been probably in my late teens.
Mm-hmm.
And I even keep some of them. I don't know why I still have some of them, but they're fascinating. And there is so much to be gleaned from them. And I know you want to take a commercial break, so we can do that when we come back, because I think that there's just so much to talk about.
I know. We have so much in common. It's really great to share this time with you. And I also want to ask about the readings that you conduct. And so we'll do that when we come back, okay?
Okay, great.
Awesome. We will be right back right after these messages, folks.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Explore new areas of interest, expand your knowledge, and gain clarity about your life's purpose at the Ocala Inner Center. Affectionately known as OIC, the Ocala Inner Center, just 2 blocks south of Town Square, offers workshops, classes, healing meditations, and special events for the Ocala, Gainesville, and Central Florida spiritual community. Check out our calendar of events at OcalaInnerCenter.com. And if you're looking for a place for your next workshop or seminar, go to OcalaInnerCenter.com and give Gene a call.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Dr. Joanne White, and we are discussing all the magical messages that the universe can offer us. And so, Joanne, you also do soul readings and soul attunements.
Yes, it's a way to help people actually connect with their soul, and also oftentimes to when people are having challenges doing that, it's sometimes the first session is just about helping people access the messages, or oftentimes the messages come through and I just give people the messages and help them really experience them and help them really connect. Your soul has a vibration, as you know. And when we connect to that soul vibration, we can really experience wonderment and joy and ease, and it's just so very potent and so very powerful. And so I think that's very important too, and it helps to really begin. And sometimes the soul wants to come through and say, hey, this is what I need from you. This is what's been going on, and so let's connect. And so oftentimes it's maybe we want to call it an interpreter or somebody that helps to bridge that gap to be able to have people really experience more deeply the connection to their soul or to their soul purpose. And and the attunement is actually one, and these are different. One's a soul reading and one's an attunement. And the attunement actually helps people really connect more fully and really feel and experience that soul energy and that soul vibration to raise their own vibration. It's very powerful. And to awaken more fully to our own divinity. We our soul is divine, and our soul is connected to the infinite and higher wisdom and what people call God, and there are so many names for God. So it's
sure.
all about that.
Mm-hmm. And does it take a long time, or is this in a relatively short amount of time? You could just turn your life around and understand your purpose.
Well, I believe that you can... My soul connection, my soul attunement, and my soul readings are about 50 minutes to an hour, so that's what they do. And some people want more or whatever, but oftentimes it's to be able to begin to connect to your soul. We could do that, I believe, instantaneously if we just
Absolutely.
Know how.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that aspect doesn't take long.
I think it's just about willingness. And
yes.
understanding the ego is important, and understanding that the ego really is your worst enemy. And just to say, okay, I'm willing to listen. They will jump in so fast. It's like sending out a message throughout heaven. Oh, geez, they're willing. Let's get to work. So,
right. So basically, say yes. That willingness is about saying yes.
Say yes.
And what I was saying earlier is wake up in the morning and say hello to your soul. Go to just which sounds silly to some people, but acknowledge the fact that you do have a soul, and kind of begin to honor it in some way. The soul can lead us into vast places of joy, of wisdom, of energy, of creativity, of remembrance.
Peace.
Yes, peace, love,
peace.
Love,
yes.
love, right?
And if you do this upon awakening, it can't be that far of a stretch, because you just left that realm, and you were doing soul work, you know, throughout the time you were sleeping. I don't like to say at night, Joanne, because some people do not sleep at night. So I've kind of slimmed down my dialogue. In that period of sleep, you were doing your spiritual work. I mean, no matter to what degree you remember what was going on, be thankful and grateful for the experience and the opportunity and the urge to get you going in the right direction or solve a problem or ease your heart if you need comforting, you know?
Oh, I totally agree. I think it's so important. And it doesn't take that long to kind of initially connect. And we were talking a little bit earlier about ways to allow, to kind of nurture your soul a little bit. Music is also a way to kind of to nurture your soul. Your soul loves music. Your soul loves joy and celebration. And so that's another way to kind of give your soul some music. I'm thinking, you know, I'm talking, and I'm thinking one day when I was singing to my cat, she just had her head, I don't know why this came up, she had her head in this incredible listening position that was just like, yes, open, eager, give me more. And it was a very special moment. It was like she got really quiet to listen and to attend, and there was this incredible connection going on. And I just think that's something we can do to with our soul, is just kind of be open to that with the most wonderful expression of love and respect and joy for that experience, that interaction, that communication.
Absolutely. Can I ask what you were saying to the cat?
I was...
I asked because the other night on the air I mentioned the same topic, and you're saying, I've heard you like two or three times now say, I don't know why this popped into my head, and I don't want to interrupt you, but the answer is because you need to say it out loud. We all
well,
need to
I
hear
know
it.
That, and I just
so
say
cool.
I just say that I just say that because again, it's very guided, and I and
yes.
so and a lot of what we do is very guided, and so
right.
I just and I embrace
well,
that, and so when it comes through, it's about yes, you have to say it. It may sound strange or off the wall.
No.
I was singing, I
Trust
make up songs.
The listeners are getting used to me, so you're in with good company with this guy.
All right, well, you and
everything.
I are very like-minded. I sing yeah. little love songs to myself, to my cat.
Uh-huh.
I make up little love songs to her, like you would to a little kid, right? Parents
yeah.
do that. And she, so her name is in it, and so she sort of,
hears her name.
She's listening, and it's a love song about just how grateful I am that she's here and how wonderful she is, and so, and she knows it. I mean, she's.
You're the second person I've met in a month that does that, makes up songs and sings it to their pets.
Oh, it's wonderful! It's
can
a
I
wonder.
Offer?
I think that's a very soulful experience, really.
Absolutely! What an exchange of energy from heart center to heart center. It's a beautiful thing. But if you don't mind, can I make a suggestion to add to your repertoire?
Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, I was saying the other day, hands down, every song I've ever sung to an animal, and I'm talking from snakes to horses to raccoons, dogs, I've seen snakes sit straight up, a horse wrapped its head around my shoulder and pulled me to his chest and wouldn't let me go. And the song is Amazing Grace. Just sing it from your heart and watch how animals sit up and get close to you.
I will try it. You know, also, animals are very connected to the vibration. So music and
Absolutely.
Sound have incredible vibrations, and that's
mm-hmm.
important. Do you know, too, that we all have a soul song? And
really?
As we get quiet, oh, God, yes. And so I do this sometimes with some of my clients when I'm working energetically, is to just allow this soul song. People are initially very self-conscious about it, but when you let that go, you get out of the personality, you allow, and people need to be in a relaxed, receptive state, the soul song to just come out of you. It's very soulful, it's very gentle for most people, and it's an incredibly moving experience. It's like, where did that come from? It's not words, it's just the energy and sound. It's
wow.
I don't know how to describe it other than that, and it's very potent.
No doubt. It sounds incredible.
Well, I'll do it with you sometime, Charlotte. We'll play.
Really? Okay. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yes. And, well, you and I love to play. We'll play.
Well, I want everyone to know about all of your wonderful products and what you're doing with, oh my God, I don't know how you fit all this into your schedule. I know when I first met you, and the show's been booked for months at a time, and you had something going on, but I want to start with the products and segue down through your projects and tell everybody all that you have to offer and all that you're doing to help everyone on their path. So on your website, you offer numerous products. It takes a while to get through your website, and but you have your new self-sustainability online coaching system. So why don't we talk about that and some of your seminars, and then we'll move on to other things that you do as well.
Okay, great. So the website is Dr. Joanne, drjoannewhite.org. DrJoanneWhite.org, and there's a free newsletter that people could sign up for. And also, I often have a free strategy session for people when they sign up for the newsletter and connect with me. And that just helps people figure out where they are. It's a short one, but it kind of helps people move forward. I have tons of books, okay? I've been writing since I've been really little, and receiving a lot of my books are very guided, and so a lot of books are about helping women and girls and children and baby boomers and all the teens and even men. Yes, men. I'm joking.
Absolutely.
Men are wonderful. They have wonderful souls like we do.
And
so,
I noticed a couple of books about surviving a breakup in a relationship, and I thought that was very powerful, especially, you know, many people are backing out of relationships as their consciousness grows and their awareness expands, so a lot of people are absolutely in that boat right now.
And it's about doing that with love, mm-hmm. and because oftentimes there's a lot that goes on between people, and sometimes it creates disconnection between somebody that you cared about. So remember that your soul connected with this person for whatever reason, and oftentimes there are very specific reasons. And there's also a need to nurture oneself and nurture oneself once you go through a breakup, so that's important. And the self-sustainability system, it's actually going to be on selfsustainabilitysystem.com. We're putting that up. There'll be a link to my website, drjoannewhite.com, but that's actually going to be an online coaching system and with videos, with webinars, with me, and with some select other experts and professionals, and really just a way to move through what self-sustainability is. And there are many different spheres of self-sustainability, which I'm not going to go into today, but I think it's important. But stay tuned, because that website is almost finished, and then we'll be launching it hopefully in February. And then there's this television show that...
Oh, my
here's
goodness.
The soul.
Power Your
well,
Life TV. How's it going?
Power Your Life TV. And, well, that's also about... one of the reasons that I'm here, and I've known this very early on, is to do service. And I think that's really why we're all here in some way, doing
Absolutely.
Services, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also getting to know ourselves and getting to know that core aspect, that soul aspect, that spiritual aspect of ourselves. So this is just a way of bringing many experts, many people who are out there helping people spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally to move forward in their lives, to access more joy. And a lot of the people recently that we've had on the show have benefit other people through whatever they're doing to raise money for some nonprofit organizations. There was one gentleman on the show who was raising money for the homeless, and he was part of this community that actually worked with homeless and they formed running groups to help people get back their ability to feel empowered and strengthen themselves and feel good. So there's just so much on the show. And what I love is that, again, it's about empowering people, helping people to access their own abilities, their own joy, their own vastness, their own potentiality. And when we do that, I really feel the connection to others. So I just think it's really powerful. And I'm having, for me, it's like this whole new arena. Well, I thought, okay, I do radio, my Power Your Life radio show, and you're going to be on it. Yes, Charlotte.
I
very
know.
Very soon.
Uh-huh.
So my own radio show, but this is totally different. There's
yes.
so much more I have to learn, and it's very exciting. But at the end of the day, it feels very rewarding to bring to people all these wonderful people and avenues for growth and potential and to really do a healing for oneself and on the planet. So I feel very blessed that's come about. And
yes.
hopefully
facilitating
it'll grow.
That is very rewarding and providing a platform for all of these light workers to share their gifts is very rewarding. No doubt
yeah,
you're working
I love
hard,
it.
Learning a lot, and having a blast doing it all, you know?
And everybody I've met is incredible, really. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, there are so many. You know, sometimes we say, why is that guy cutting me off on the road? Why are these people moving so fast and right and not? Well, I am just meeting so many wonderful people, and I'm thinking, wow, there are so many wonderful, beautiful people out here who want to give back to other people and to the world in so many ways, and I want to be able to showcase that and to kind of showcase the human spirit and our ability to really connect and love one another and heal. So that's one of the profound reasons for that. And my bully-free book, which is probably going to be launched in 2 weeks, maybe. We're doing the final touches, Charlotte, in terms of editing it. And this
the timing couldn't be more perfect, of course. Tell us about the bully-free book. Of course, it's about bullies, right?
Well, this is a very different book because I work with a lot of people with disabilities. I'm very connected with Autism Speaks. I'm very connected I've actually taught at special education at Temple University, so taught teachers and professionals and counselors and psychologists how to be able to connect and understand people with disabilities, with autism, whatever. So I've had a very strong place in my heart for that. So I actually interviewed families, kids, adults, children who at some point in their lives were bullied, but children with special needs and children and adults with special needs. And so it's really... I sort of step back because it's very different from most of the books I write, which a lot of the books are how-to and help people access information. This is for me to kind of step back and let these people tell their stories.
And I love that angle. Okay.
Well, and it's new, and it brings, you know, I did so many interviews with people and recorded them and went through laughing and crying and... Because a lot of the stories are painful, but then again, what it does is it celebrates the strength and the ability that we have, many of us, luckily, who are not those people who've been bullied and not committing suicide or being devastated. Many of those people are being able to move forward despite their own challenges, and despite what other people have done to them or said to them, and be able to sort of soar. And so it's a combination of just the sorrows and yet the expressions of the ability that we have to be able to move past a lot of that, and with help and support and love from families, from teachers, from advisors, from whoever, and be able to recover and to be able to do wonderful things despite that. They also give suggestions as what would you do to end bullying? What would you do to make this better? I give suggestions, but it's really about these people who've experienced it front and center, who've lived through the verbal abuse, the physical abuse, the whatever it was, the teasing, and even from schools who people just didn't understand like what was going on, be able to move past that
and it's possible.
Thrive.
It's possible.
Oh, yes, it's possible.
And I especially think it's possible with a light worker like you, when you connect to the soul and connect to the peace that is already there. You can rise above everything, and I know there's some pretty terrible stories out there. I've got a few of my own. I've shared a couple. I haven't been on the air very long. But, you know, if I told you my life story, I could have you crying in 10 minutes, truthfully. So, peace is possible. Sometimes we just need the right teacher to guide us, and Dr. Joanne White just might be your teacher.
I appreciate that. You're right, Charlotte. Everybody has stories. I remember when I was teaching. I'm no longer teaching at Temple University, but when I was an adjunct there, I would have a class, and I usually taught graduate classes. And these people came. What I loved when I was in special education, they were required from all sorts of disciplines to take this class. So they had to understand about other people. So I remember one of the first days of bringing these people together was kind of letting each person tell a little bit of their values and their background and some of the stories that emerge. Because if you're sitting next to somebody, you think, oh, well, his life is perfect. He has everything. And then you hear these stories, and you know that living in that temple is very intercultural and
yes.
has people from all over the world. And so some of the stories about which were just amazing. And there was one story of this woman. I don't know if we have time, but it's, again.
Yeah, we have a couple minutes.
Spirit is giving me this information. There was one
then
woman
spill it,
who
sister.
Was, who was saying that when she was in grade school, she had trouble reading. The words would literally jump off the page, and there's a name for that. And so they put her in a special class. They thought she was stupid, whatever, and she would spend
yep.
hours and hours and hours just trying to catch up and also just feeling unworthy. And there was a high school teacher of hers, finally. It took her all that time, actually a middle school. She was just at the end of middle school, who identified this because she had seen something on 2020 or something. And
yep.
it was a special condition whereby all that was necessary to help shift this was colored lenses that could be, this person could have gone through a test and the ophthalmologist or whomever would figure out what color lenses would fit to put the words literally back on the page. Well, once she was able to get the right glasses, all those words that were literally, I mean, how could you read when words are, can you see it? Words are falling off the page. Right.
They jump around.
So,
it's ridiculous.
Right.
It's
exactly. So the mm-hmm. words, Charlotte, finally got back on the page so she could read. And so she ended up, she was studying special education and she was going for her master's so that she could go back and help children who,
beautiful.
Right? So I used to actually say, can you come to my classes and just tell your story? This is, what a wonderful story. And look, and she went through such hell
the label,
as a kid.
I know.
Right, labeled and feeling that she was stupid and it was reinforced. And all it took was glasses to help her see, and more importantly, to help others see, really see, who she truly was, her brilliance.
But you know what? She needed to go through that to share and help others grow. So I certainly have an empathy for her experience. I know several people who went through the same thing. You're stupid. You're just not trying. You're lazy. My question for you is, do they still use those colored glasses? Because I know a few people who could probably use a pair.
I think that that's what they have, and I can't remember the name of the condition, that's how they treat that condition.
Well, I understand it to be dyslexia, and because I have...
No, it's not dyslexia.
A different form of something like that, disconnection?
Dyslexia is actually when you're reversing, you'll see a D or an L, and but you'll confuse letters. But this is actually where the words literally don't stay on the page.
Oh, okay. Then
when I say they're dancing, I mean that she looks at a page and the words aren't there. They're moving around, like you said, like ants. They're not on their page. They're move. Okay. So.
Okay.
And I.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a special condition that can be treated with glasses.
Okay, I get you now. Okay, so it's something totally separate. But it sounds like the person I know has both of those conditions. Which they avoid books like the plague. They just can't do it. But let me research that and see if I can help them out with that. Hasn't been.
And you know what, I can research
it. But I'd love to help.
Right. Yeah, I can research that too because I have it somewhere in my archives and I can send that information to you.
I would appreciate that. That would be wonderful.
Good, I will. So the website is drjoannewhite.com and you can contact me at joanne@drjoannewhite.com or docwhite.org. It gets you to the same place. docwhite.org. Sometimes it's easier to remember.
Yes.
And
but there's,
go ahead.
Well, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, there is a link in the show page to the site if you're listening through iTunes or YouTube. Again, drjoannewhite.org. And Joanne is spelled with an E at the end.
drjoannewhite.com.
Oh, I thought you said org earlier.
drjoannewhite.com or docwhite.org.
Got you. Okay. But also, if you're looking to transform your life or business to success and wellness, please visit her website. You will find an amazing array of books, CDs. Her new e-book is out in 2 weeks. Programs to help you live happily and abundantly. You can also contact Joanne to schedule a free strategy session and book your appointment via email. You can reach her at Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-E, at drjoannewhite.com or call 856-795-5854. Joanne, it's been really, really great to sit and talk with you about all the stuff that obviously is so important to us, you know?
Charlotte, it's been wonderful, and it's so rewarding, firstly, to help people, and secondly, to just be, you and I are so like-minded, so right now, my soul is very happy. If you saw me where I am in my office, it's like my soul is dancing.
Yes, I become extremely energized, and they've heard me say so many times, I don't want to hang up, but I have to. But I also want to point out, you know, when you peruse the site and all of her upcoming shows, her radio show, her TV show, you will see a familiar face as I'll be appearing on Doc White's Power Your Life radio show on Thursday, February 6, 2014, at 6 p.m. Eastern. Our topic will be miracles as true perception. Did you like the way I worked that miracle word into the conversation earlier?
I love it. And yeah. Isn't that next week? Where did January go? That's next Thursday. We're going to be talking in a week, Charlotte. That's wonderful.
It is next week, and I don't know where January went, but I did enjoy it. There was a lot of great energy. I do feel things coming up from a very deep level to be purged and released, and I'm grateful for that. I'm always happy for an opportunity to forgive, and especially forgive myself for some weird misperception that I'm not good enough. You know, it's always great to recognize that. And like you said earlier, you know, look at your worthiness. Everybody, we're so worthy and deserving of love and peace and abundance on all levels. So I have a really good feeling about this year, Joanne.
Me too. And we'll share a lot of that. And hopefully we'll be talking again we'll talk next week.
Yes.
And Charlotte, thank you so much for having me on the show. You're a great host. And I love being able to share ideas and help people in whatever way I can. So thanks again.
You're quite welcome. You're a pleasure. You really are. All right, everybody. That's our show, Dr. Joanne White. Until next time, please tune in to her show where I'll be appearing and talking about miracles. Until next time, everyone, God bless and be at peace.